of 8 o'clock, and I am joined Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinic CEO, Mr. Mike O'Neill, with me this morning. Mr. O'Neill, how are you?
I'm well on this cold morning.
It is cold. It's just downright cold this morning is what it is, as a matter of fact. So nice to see you. It's a pleasure to get the visit with you.
Yeah, thank you.
And we have with us as well, we have CFO Bryant Blay with me. Bryant, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to get the visit with you both. Always look forward to the conversation. This morning, we have a few things to talk about this morning. So
yes, we do.
Again, officially, now you've been working toward this goal, Mr. O'Neill, for a period of time now. But officially at this point, you are the CEO of Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics, correct?
That is correct. Yep. Four and a half years I've been here as part of the transition plan that Ron had established, four and a half years ago.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit. And also, Bryant, how long have you been CFO?
CFO about 3 years now, but I've been at the hospital for just short of 10 years. My 10-year anniversary will be next month.
That doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, that really does not seem possible to me
it's
at all.
It's gone fast, really fast.
It goes by quickly. So talk to me a little bit about, and I'm just going to throw this out there, events of last week. It was kind of a week of celebration, maybe some bittersweet issues there as well with Mr. Claver now officially stepping away. Talk to me about that transition, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I think bittersweet is a good word to use or a good term to use. On the one hand, you know, it's good that we can have this transition and lower the anxiety by me being here, getting to know the people and working with the team. At the same time, Ron, with 36 years at the hospital, the last five as the CEO here. But, you know, it goes back to the transition plan that he had established and making sure that we did reduce those anxiety that come Monday morning today that we'd be able just to keep moving forward. And anyone who's been in healthcare long enough to know and see transition, it can be really terrible when a brand new person comes in not knowing anyone and has new ideas, different ideas, and a different way to go. So I think this has been great. So, you know, last week, Ron and I spent a lot of time, most notably with delivering pizzas to the clinic, the satellite clinics that we have in Villisca and Malvern.
Yeah.
On, I think, Wednesday and then Thursday, Ron and I delivered more pizzas to the retail pharmacy down the road from the hospital. And then we served dessert for the staff at lunch. We had a free lunch at the hospital. And then, of course, Friday evening, we had a celebration, a welcoming of me, and then the retirement of Ron, where we got to surprise him.
That's difficult to do, is it not?
It is. Kathy, his wife, came up to me and said, you know, you're the only person that's ever been able to surprise him, and you've done it twice now. One, when we did a retirement celebration with the board of directors, where we present silver for the number of years over 20 that you've been at the hospital. But that wasn't the surprise for Ron. The surprise was I had his family come in and get to witness that celebration. And then the other was Friday evening during a period where one of our board members spoke, Kevin Cabbage, and then Ron got up and spoke, and then I spoke, and then brought the senior admin team up, and we presented Ron with a painting which was completed by Carol Danbaum, of the hospital. And that surprised him, that one-of-a-kind painting. He said he's already got it hung up in his house.
I bet he does, yeah. So, again, a week of celebration, bittersweet. But here's the neat thing that I've had the opportunity to visit with a number of employees from MCMH and clinics. And it seemed to me, with everyone that I visit with, just complete comfort with this transition, because Mr. O'Neill, you've been there for 4.5 years. You know everyone. It's not like you're coming in unknown. Your fingerprints are on many things that have already occurred and are occurring. So you're well entrenched in what's going on. But to Ron, I would say over the last 5 years, a lot of thoughtful and hard work has been done over the last 5 years to put where in the position where they're in. So thanks to Ron and thanks to you as well for making that happen. So it's confident. It builds confidence, not only with your staff, Mr. O'Neill, but with the community as well, which I think is important.
I think the other thing, too, healthcare is hard.
Yeah.
You know, what Bryant has to do is extremely difficult.
I want to get to him in a minute here.
I call it Bryant has a difficult job of watching the moving bullseye, because that's what it is with regulation changes, all those things in there. But I think the other thing that Ron and the board and the hospital wanted to do was bring someone in that knew the people of Southwest Iowa, having been the CEO at Grape Hospital for 13 years and coming up here during that transition, having to know how healthcare works, know how the folks in Southwest Iowa, their needs are, I think are important. And so that, again, I don't have to learn how to be a CEO, so I could just jump right into it. So very relaxed, I believe, atmosphere that we were able to accomplish out there.
Well done.
Yes.
Very well done.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
That is a testament to the staff. It's a testament to this community. It's a great community. So I can't say enough good words.
So talk to me a little bit about your, I'm going to say, admin and leadership team, Mr. O'Neill. We have Mr. Blay with us here. We're going to speak to in just a second. But talk to me about that leadership team that you have in place, that they're on the ground every day working with all of your employees.
Yeah. You said, Bryant is here with us today, Chief Financial Officer. Then we have Crystal Feda, our Chief Nursing Officer, and then Shauna Boswell is our Chief Clinical Officer. So that team is comprised of the senior admin team. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They've been in place for a while now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, since I've been there, yes, they've all been in place. So we've been working together and doing all sorts of things. Just when I say things, moving the org chart around to make sure that when this day came that we'd be in place to continue to move forward.
I want to talk to Bryant. Bryant, you said that you've been there for about 10 years.
Correct, yep.
As CFO for three.
Right, yep.
Mr. O'Neill alluded to healthcare as a moving bullseye because you have change in regulations, you have change in reimbursement rates. You're trying to put together a near, $100 million budget?
Yep, right around there, yeah.
And you have all of these things that are kind of always in flux and always moving. How do you do that? How do you start? It is a constant moving target. So what do you do? How does that work?
I like to tell people I wish I would have paid closer attention to the politics when I was younger. I used to watch it on TV and see, the senators and the president and think, that doesn't really impact us here locally. But I've come to learn it really does impact us, especially in the healthcare arena. It's interesting the decisions that they make, how that impacts us. Specifically, you heard a lot this last summer with Medicaid changes. The hospital has a big program that we participate in, as well as all the other hospitals in the state, that some of those changes will impact us. And we're okay with that. We just have to make sure we know how to navigate it and plan for the future. So, yeah, thankfully with Mike, the nice thing is for us as a leadership group, as you mentioned, we know what we're getting.
Yeah.
I like to tease Mike that he's the hardest person I've ever had to figure out, because he's kind of just, he's a tough one to figure out, but he always tells me what you see is what you get, and I think that's true, and that's what we're excited about at the hospital, that continuity and keep going with what we've been doing and keep growing and serving the people in our area.
Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics has taxing authority as well. When you're putting together a budget like that, $100 million budget, and you have changes in funding sources, we'll say, revenue sources. It's constantly in a state of flux, reimbursement rates, all of those sorts of things. How do you balance that with taxing authority for the citizens and taxpayers of the area? Is that a consideration that you always take seriously? How does that work?
It is. We are very appreciative of the tax support. We try to be as mindful as possible about that. We have 3-4% of our overall operating budget is supported by the tax revenue from the county. So we've actually been very fortunate the last 5 years to keep our tax levy rate the same. At a time when we've seen some pretty significant growth at the hospital with the addition of clinics and retail pharmacy, addition of the MRI and things of that sort. So we feel like we're really good stewards of the tax dollars. And every year we go through that process, we try to be as mindful as possible. Actually just completed that process here in the last couple of weeks with our board officially voting to keep the levy rate the same. So it's always on our mind.
Do you have a team that you work with, your staff? Who all works with you, Mr. Black?
We do. So I've got a great team. Tim Wurgis is our controller. Many people know Tim. Extremely fortunate to have him. He's my go-to person day in and day out. Make sure that I'm not missing anything in the details and bounce ideas off of. Jamie Hossel leads our revenue cycle departments. So all of the billing, coding, patient access team members report to her. And then we've got a couple others in our materials management department. So many people probably don't think about all the supplies that are in every clinic exam room and the lab and all the different departments in the hospital. So Mike Brookman does a great job of making sure we have all of our supplies. And then the other person that I work closely with, or two others, is Sherston Williard on our pharmacy team.
Yeah.
And Terry Cuppy on our IT side. So very fortunate to have a great team.
It takes a lot of people to make everything seem seamless, right? When you walk in, it's just there and it works, but it takes a lot of people to make sure that it just works.
Right.
Now, do you have other colleagues that you'd work with across the state? And where I'm going with that is when you're navigating what's going on legislatively, I mean, you kind of have to be on top of these things at this point, right? To know this is potentially going to happen or this is a potential piece of legislation you might keep an eye on. Do you have other colleagues you're working with there?
Yeah, so I'm in a group called HFMA, Healthcare Finance Management Association. It's a national organization, but we have a state chapter here in Iowa. I actually serve as the incoming president for that state chapter. And it's been a role that our group that I've been involved with since I got started. So Rick Line and our previous CFO was involved with that group. And when I started, he said, you know, you really need to go check this group out. It's been valuable for me during my career. So I've been involved with it for just under 10 years now. And it's been a great resource for me to get connected with other CFOs at hospitals. We have a good connection with the Iowa Hospital Association, who keeps a good pulse on legislative things. So, yeah, it's been a great group and a solid network for me to reach out to and bounce ideas off of and keep up on things that are always changing.
It takes a lot of challenge. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of smart people working together to make it. But financially, MCMH and Clinics is strong.
Yeah, we're doing well.
Doing well at this point. And I think that is good for everybody. When MCMH does well, I think it's good for our whole community. Red Oak, Montgomery County, Southwest Iowa, it's a good thing. So. Mr. O'Neill.
I thought it was interesting this morning how you started out the program this morning. I listened to a little bit of it, and the Bible verses that you brought out this morning, you talked about discipline.
Yes.
And you said, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. And I thought to myself, you can't imagine the number of disciplined people we have who we get the enjoyment of working with each and every day. At the hospital and how much knowledge that they have and discipline that they have to have because of the things that they do and the very nature of the things that you just spoke of.
Yeah. Gosh, it is an ever-changing environment. That is the thing. It's not static. It's a very dynamic environment that you're working within. So, and it also says those who don't are stupid.
Those who don't are stupid.
That's Proverbs 12:1. That's not me, Mr. O'Neill.
And so I wrote down, my drill instructors when I was in the Marine Corps had a saying. They would say, you make the kind of day you're going to have. Now, I say that, but then you have to think about all the people that come at you every day.
Yes.
But it's how you react, how you respond to those situations.
Yes.
Really is telling about yourself. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, you make the kind of day you're going to have.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to steal that. I'm going to steal that one for sure. Absolutely.
It didn't matter what kind of day I made. They still made it pretty rough.
I like it. Mike O'Neill with me, CEO of Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics, and Bryant Blay, who is the CFO, talking about transition, leadership team. Okay, here's the question that we always get to that can be difficult and it can be challenging, but what does the future hold?
Yeah.
I mean, we know where we are today. We know legislatively, we know what's going on within the community, but where does this, in a year or two or five, what does this look like?
Well, from a high-level perspective, I would say that we could sum it up in three areas: access, growth, stability. You know, if we're disciplined, like we've been talking about today, in all of those areas, so keeping focused on keep healthcare local. For access, growth, we want to continue to grow those services that we've talked about here with you, Aaron. You know, we talked about robotics, growing the pharmacy, our orthopedics, which is really taking off. We're now going to be bringing in neurospine and pain as well. So doing some things that we've never done here before. Also oncology, nephrology, cardiology, all of those services. Keep looking for new services so we can keep our healthcare local. And stability. You know, we're doing it the way we should this way because we want to keep the organization strong financially. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have that, you don't have
right.
anything.
Right.
So that's the moving bullseye that yes. Bryant is so good at and so attuned to, and the folks that he talked about briefly who have that discipline that are able to do all of those things. And as we have talked with you, Ron and I have talked with you in the past about the hospital and where it currently sits, 1989. We know that we've got some aging infrastructure that we need to update, including, you know, regulations for the type of hospital that we have and the rooms and all those things. They've changed over time. So we know that we need to make improvements there. So we'll be engaging our architects to talk about those things and what we can do at the hospital
yeah.
with regards to inpatient surgery, pharmacy, all of those items so that we can, again, keep access local.
I think it's so important. I know I've said it many times, but I think it really is important to be able to do it right here. I mean, I much prefer to be right here to just run up and take care of what I need to, and then back right here doing what we need to do. I think there's a lot of research that says that people are more successful with their healthcare needs, if it's surgery or in recovery time, if they can do it close to home. I think mm-hmm. it's great to do. So where does that go then? I know that last time, in the recent conversations I had with Mr. Claver, we were talking about the Da Vinci robotic machine, mm-hmm. which is about a $3 million machine, if I'm not mistaken. And there's no way to know where all this goes, but what does that future of healthcare look like it's just more and more, technology heavy, could we mm-hmm. say? A lot of technology mm-hmm. involved, but it boils down to people, doesn't it, mm-hmm. in the end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know that robotics is the future. It just is. You know, they have robots in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to be able to recruit, retain the surgeons that we have, new surgeons down the road, new procedures, we'll need robotics someday or another. So I'll let Bryant talk a little bit about grants we've applied mm-hmm. for.
Yeah, if we want to circle back to the politics piece of healthcare,
yeah.
There is a grant that we're applying for. It's actually part of the Rural Health Transformation Fund,
mm-hmm.
Which is a new bucket of funds that were allocated last cycle. So we're applying for some funding for a Da Vinci robot through yeah. the state of Iowa. There is a grant application that's open right now. It actually closes in early April. So we've got the team working on an application to try to be able to fund a good portion of that robotic device through this Rural Health Transformation Program. So it's fingers crossed. You know, it's a competitive process. I think there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 potential awards for these grant dollars. You know, and there's 82 facilities in the state of our size, critical access hospitals, but there's also health systems and whatnot. So it's not easy to come by,
no.
but we're doing our best and hoping we can be successful with that.
I got to tell you, that stuff just on a personal level fascinates me. I mean, it is one of those things that I can really go down the rabbit hole on. But if you look at the progression, though, from, I want to say the old hospital, the one I think was on Highland,
mm-hmm.
there were 80 beds. I'm approximating, so... And now today you move to the new hospital and then it was 40 beds and now it's like
25
beds.
Yep.
It's just, and that is the progression and the change of healthcare over that many years, right?
Yeah. And that's even something we talk about with this building project is, you know, if we're going to do something with inpatient, what is the right number of beds?
Right.
We probably don't need 25 beds in the future. Maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15. More and more things are going outpatient. Surgeries are quicker to discharge, shorter recovery time. So it's an amazing evolution and, yeah, something that's still changing even today.
Absolutely. I mean, just think of, you know, your ortho surgery. It's gone. I mean, the next day you're out and you're home and you're whatever the case may be. I mean, it's just amazing. And we're used to you had been in the hospital for a week or 10 days, and now it's here out the next day.
You and Ron and you have talked about that. We're 90% outpatient, 10% inpatient. So, yeah, insurance companies want you in and out quickly.
So, again, that's the progression of healthcare, and that's a continued, like Brian said, that's your part of your conversation that you have with smart leadership and good leadership to know where to go if it's 10 beds or 15 beds or what that looks like. So, very good. Mike O'Neill, CEO of Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics, and CFO Bryant Blay with me this morning. What have I left out, Mr. O'Neill or Mr. Blay? What else do we need to cover?
Well, other than tomorrow being St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, it is.
you know, I think, again, what I want to say to the folks out there that are listening to you this morning is that we've got a great place up there on the hill. It's something that drove me here. And I think this is one of the things that Bryant and I are focused on is, again, ensuring that we have access, ensuring that we're growing, and ensuring that the future of this hospital is stable.
Very good.
Yeah, the last thing I think I would say is just thank you to the community. We had Ron's party last week, had a great turnout, a lot of community members. I think he really enjoyed getting to see everyone that came. So thank you to the community for the support, and look forward to continuing to be here to support the community.
Very good. Nice to see you both.
Thank you.
Stay warm. You too. It's always a pleasure, and certainly enjoy the conversation. So make it a great day. Nice to see you both.
Thank you.
Mike O'Neill, CEO, and Bryant Blay, CFO with Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics.